We're finishing our series today that we have called Covenant Keeping. And the goal of the series has been very simple. We've talked about that as we look at our relationships, if we look at the relationships in our culture, in our world today, that at all levels we can tell that they simply are not working. And we've talked about maybe the reason is because we've started defining our relationships according to the world's terms. You know, relationships that are based on my feelings, what is good, you know, for me. You know, you do this, this, and this, and then we can be in this relationship together. And what we begin to develop is a contractual relationship that says, I'm committed up to this line right here, and we kind of draw a line in the sand, and we say, you step over that line, you go beyond that line, and then I'm out. I'm done. Right? And as we look at that, and as we experience that, we know that that does not work. And so God redefines our relationships. And he does it on a completely different level. And he calls that a covenant. And he calls us to be a covenant-keeping people and to have covenant-keeping relationations. And I know it's difficult and it's hard and to make that kind of commitment. But when we do that, when we say, okay, that's the way I'm going to live my life in relationships, whether it's my marriage or my family or any relationship, that's how I'm going to live my life, in my relationships. It builds a foundation. It begins to lay a foundation in our relationships and for our relationships that will work and that will last. And the greatest example we have, of course, is God's covenant to us. Yeah, he is a covenant God to us. He demonstrated his love to you and me that even though we're sinners and we don't really deserve his love, his grace, his forgiveness, he still sent his son to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could come into a covenant forever relationship with him. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The love I have for you is a covenant love that is unconditional, that is sacrificial, that is for you. And so this morning, I just want to ask a question as we begin into this message. Are you in a covenant relationship with God? Are you in a covenant relationship with God? And as we go through this message, I hope I'll help you be able to answer that just a little more clearly. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Hebrews 8. We'll be in Hebrews 8. Let me get this fixed a little bit. We'll be in Hebrews 8 and to start with and then to end with, and I'll kind of throw some other passages in as we go. Hebrews 8. I'm just going to start with verse 10 and then we'll kind of come back to that passage, that chapter. Hebrews 8:10 says this, though. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. And I love this. He says, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Notice I didn't say he wants to have a master-servant relationship that's based on fear. He doesn't want that. He wants a covenant-keeping love relationship with you where he is your God and you are his child. You are his people. And so this morning I just want to share with you five things that you'll be involved in if you are in a covenant-keeping relationship with God. And you'll be able to see these also in your relationship, in your marriage. These five things will be in your marriage, will be in your relationships. You will be involved in these five things that go along with covenant. And the first one is kind of weird, and I don't want you to freak out on me, but the first one is this. I couldn't figure out how to get this out of the five because it's so important. But the first one is bloodshed. There is bloodshed in a covenant relationship. And we know that because God initiated with us this covenant with us by sending his son, right? He sent his son to die on a cross to show us his commitment to the depth of his commitment to us. He allowed Jesus to suffer, bleed, and die so that you and I would know that he loves us so much and wants so much to be in that covenant relationship that he allowed his son to suffer, bleed, and die on that cross. And it's the same is true. The same is true in our marriage. It's, you know, it's kind of where we get the saying, till death do us part. And I told you in the old Jewish traditions, sometimes they would cut the palms of the husband and the wife, the bride and the groom, and put their hands together, wrap a rope around that, and just, you know, and the blood would go down, and it would take their marriage to another level. That blood is thicker than the water. It would just, and in other practices they would do, sometimes they would cut a carcass, an animal carcass, in two, and they would put one side of the carcass on this side and one on the other, and they would walk through that, and they would say, may it be done unto me as it has been done to this animal if I break this commitment to you. It was at a blood level. We can even remember Abraham's covenant with God. I don't know if you remember what God required Abraham, his covenant with God. God required circumcision. Wow, right? It's like, whoa. But I want us to understand that God still, he still wants bloodshed, but not in a literal way. You know, that would be weird. That would be cultish. But in the New Testament, it says, you know, he did away with that sacrificial covenant, you know, through the killing of animals. He did away with that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus sacrificed for our sins once and for all when he offered himself on the cross. No animal sacrifice needed ever again. No more literal bloodshed, but something even deeper than that. Colossians 2:11 says it this way. It says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, in quotation marks. But not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. And here's the point. I think sometimes a lot of us say that we love God, but maybe in reality, we're just dating. You know, we're just in a dating relationship with him because we date others as well, if that makes sense to you. Listen, there has never, in your life, maybe there has never been a cutting away from your sinful nature. We want a little bit of the world, right? And we also want a little bit of God, too. And honestly, if you don't have a covenant relationship with God, well, then your relationship is more about religion than it is about a covenant relationship with him. So I just want to encourage you this morning, you need to check your heart, because some of us we really want Jesus' bloodshed, but we're not willing to have our own cutting away. The second thing that will be in a covenant relationship with our God, you know, and with us, is a name change. And we see that today when we get married. I mean, Kim had to take on my name, and when we entered into that covenant with one another, she became, you know, Shelley Kimberly Davis. People just found out your first name. Sorry about that. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Shelley Kimberly Davis. She had to take on a name change, right, when we got married. We think about Abraham. He was first known as Abram, right? But when he came into a covenant relationship with God, God changed his name to Abraham and changed Sarai's name to Sarah. And when we become a Christian, when I became a Christian, you know, when I was 12 years old, my life didn't change overnight, but my name in God's book changed. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like he said, now you're no longer Monty Davis. You are Heavenly Possum. That's my nickname, Possum. You are Heavenly Possum. He didn't say that. Or he didn't, you know, it wasn't that he said, you know, I'm going to call you Angel Monty or Believing Virgil. Or, you know, it was none of that. I was still Monty Davis, right? But I had moved from creation to child. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, I don't have this verse for you, but it says, therefore, anyone who is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's a new identity, a new name that he places on us. And we gladly, you know, I gladly bear the name of, of Christian, right? I gladly bear the name of Christ as a believer, as a Christian. I'm not ashamed to tell the whole world that that's my name, right? That's who I am. I'm trying to be Christ-like. When my boys were little, I used to love to rock them and sing this song to them. I don't know if you remember this old song, but it was, you know, it went like this. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. Be not ashamed His name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian, and He'll be with me everywhere. I'll tell the world how Jesus saved me and how He gave me life brand new. And then I would say, and I know Jake or Hunt, if you trust Him, that all He gave me, He'll give to you. And, you know, I would sing that over them because I never wanted to be ashamed to bear His name. And I wanted to pray that over my kids so that they would also one day want to know Him in that very personal way and take on His name. Listen, if you'll let God come into a covenant relationship with you, and if you let Him begin to do His transforming work in your life, He will change your identity. You know, He's done that with me, and He wants to do that same thing with you. And on top of all that, we're just saying about this, but on top of all that, He gives us access to the power of His name. You know, carrying His name as the final authority above all, any other name, the name that is above any other name. It's above divorce. It's above disease. It's above addiction. There's no name above the name of Jesus Christ. And we as believers have access to His name. John 14, 13 and 14 says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." You know, why does God want us to bear His name, to identify with His name, to use His name? And I think it's simple. He doesn't want to be just one of your relationships. He wants to be the relationship, the first priority, number one. God wants you in His family to be in covenant, to be in covenant with Him. Be in covenant with Him. The third one is this, an outward sign. An outward sign. There's something that showed on the outside because of what happened on the inside. Something begins to show. You know, this a covenant is an inward decision that is expressed with an outward sign. I mean, you think about Noah's sign, right? Abraham got circumcision. Noah got a rainbow, right? That was God's covenant with Noah, a rainbow. And so every time I see a rainbow, I think about the covenant, the promises of my God. Genesis 9 says, "Whenever the rainbow appears in the cloud, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." So when we see a rainbow, we can be reminded of God's passionate love for us. In a marriage covenant, it's the wedding ring, right? Ring vows, we say, "With this ring, I thee wed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And every time you see this ring, it reminds you of how much, you know, that person loves you, right? Every time I look at my ring, I'm reminded that I belong to one woman, right? That I belong to Kim, that she is my priority. That God is, you know, I think He's passionate. I think He's passionate about His signs. You know, as passionate as I was to give Kim this ring. I mean, when I bought her ring, I got all excited about that. You know, I got educated on rings. I went, you know, and my mom with me, and, you know, I began to learn about the rings, the cut, the color, the clarity, the carat, right? And I wanted to know because it was so special. It was, you know, it was an outward sign of an inward commitment that we were making with each other. Now, as believers, that sign is baptism. It's baptism. And here at The Rock, we believe in believers' baptism because every time we read about baptism in the New Testament, it's after someone believes in Jesus Christ. It's after you come into a covenant relationship with God. He wants you to wear that band of baptism by publicly declaring your love and your commitment to your God. It's the opportunity for you to tell everyone that you are a follower of Christ. That baptism is this outward sign of the inward commitment, this inward covenant that you have made with your God. And I think sometimes it offends God when we don't follow through and we're not obedient to that practice, when we maybe try to hide the relationship. And so we need to be obedient and follow Him in baptism, the outward sign of an inward commitment that you made to your God, to publicly declare that you love Him. God is passionate about His signs. The fourth is a meal. You know, in the marriage, we have the reception with the wedding cake, and now everybody has a full-course meal. We've really taken that on. But the covenant is sealed with the eating, right? You know, we do the cakes, we cross the arms, and, you know, each one takes the cake, and now we love to smash it in each other's face or whatever. But it's symbolic of the covenant that you're making. And I don't know if you realize this, the first thing that we're going to do in heaven is we're going to gather around the great banquet table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the first thing we're going to do is eat. I'm excited about that. It's a spiritual thing. It's no calories. No calories. It don't matter whether you're gluten-free or not. It don't matter. It's going to be a covenant meal that we take with our Lord and Savior. For the church, we observe the Lord's Supper, communion. Luke 22, 19 through 20 says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" So every time we take communion, it's not just a religious rite that we just do, but it's a moment when we can remind God that we are in covenant with Him, and He reminds us that He is in covenant with us. So we do the covenant meal every fifth Sunday here at The Rock, and then on some special occasions, it's kind of that time to come together as a family and be reminded of the covenant relationship, be reminded of our covenant-keeping God. And you can do that around the family meal together, right? It can be that very special time where you just seal the covenant that you made as a family. That, you know, you gather around the table, you talk with one another, you share your highs and lows. And it's that moment of covenant keeping together, that we're in this forever. No matter what, we love you. We're here for you. A meal. So important. And then the last thing, and the one I love the most, is an exchange. You know, in a marriage, everything I have belongs to her, right? And everything she has belongs to me. When you enter into that covenant marriage relationship, there's an exchange, right? Now, in our relationship, somebody gets the better end of the deal, right? I got the better end of the deal. Well, great, great. I'm going to pay for that the rest of the day. But listen, when it comes to our covenant God, we get the better end of the deal, right? Yeah. Some people have called it the great exchange. And I love that. Because it describes in simple detail the awesome and beautiful reality of what happens when we surrender our lives to Jesus. When you and I ask God to forgive our sins and to teach us a whole new way to live, right? How to be a whole new human, right? A whole new creation in Him. It's the great exchange. It's the great exchange. We give God our sin and He gives us His righteousness. We give God our brokenness and He gives us His wholeness. We give God our despair and He gives us His hope. We give God our weakness and He gives us His strength. We give God our shame and He gives us His forgiveness. We give God our anxiety and our fears and He gives us His peace that passes all understanding. We give God our darkness and He gives us His light. We give God our death and He gives us His life. I mean, it is a great exchange. And that's what, it's a lens through which we can begin to clearly see how our brokenness and God's unconditional love comes into a covenant keeping relationship with one another. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus was made sin. That is, Jesus willingly became the very, everything, he became all that's despicable and disgusting about me and so, and about you, so that you and I might be made righteous, so that you and I might be made pure and acceptable to God. I mean, that's the great exchange. I mean, it's a profound reality that your sin and my sin was charged to His account. And His righteousness was credited to our account. I mean, do you see that? He's a covenant God. Christianity is the most incredible transaction in the universe. But yet there are some of us that still are reluctant to give God everything. When we trust God in a covenant relationship, we have to surrender everything to Him. Matthew 10:39 says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So let me close this series talking about the two covenants that we see in God's Word. The two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We get to live under the New Covenant, right? The Old Covenant was to show us the power and the beauty of the New Covenant. The New Covenant, is a covenant of devotion instead of duty. It's a covenant of a relationship, as I said earlier, instead of a religion. It's a covenant that's not about doing. It's a covenant where Christ has already done everything. And because of that, we devote our lives to Him. Back to Hebrews, in verse 7, it says this, for if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant. And I turned away from them, declares the Lord. And so the Ten Commandments that He gave them, just kind of showed us that we need a new covenant. The old covenant was external, right? A lot of do's and don'ts, and it would bring death. Our internal love kind of dies, right? And sometimes even in marriage we experience that. It just kind of dies, and we stay together because of the kids. It's this external covenant. But the new covenant is internal. It's not just going to show up. It's not going to just show us what to do. But it's going to give you the motivation to do the right things. He doesn't make you do right things. He makes you right. He makes you right. He puts His Spirit in you, and you love to obey Him. It becomes the delight of your heart, not your duty. It becomes the delight of your heart. It's the new covenant. It's internal. Verse 10 says, "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts." The old covenant kind of has a master, right? And if we're not careful in that old covenant, we will view God in the wrong way, right? We will view Him as mean or distant, right, from us. Your view of God will begin to determine your relationship with God. So the new covenant doesn't have a master. It has a Father. It has a Father. And maybe not like your earthly father, but a Father whose love is unconditional. Whose love is forever. Whose love will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 10 says, "I will be their God and they will be my people." I want you. Right? That blows me away. He knows you and He still wants you. Think about that. Right? He knows you and everything about you, but He still wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be your Father. He wants you to be a child of His, to be in the family of God. It's the power of the new covenant. It's not a servant, but you are a son or a daughter. You know, in the old covenant, you had to earn it. In the new covenant, you inherit it. Another thing about the old covenant, it has guilt, right? Every time you do something wrong, you feel guilty. You feel like you're not enough. But the new covenant has cleansing, forgiveness, past, present, and future. His word says if we're faithful and just that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 12 says, "I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins." So what kind of covenant are you in? If you're in a covenant-keeping relationship with your God, well, then those five things we talk about, they'll begin to show up in your relationship with Him. What kind of relationship? You know, do you have a relationship, or is it all about religion? Are you still trying to live under the old covenant, or have you received and accepted the new covenant that comes through Jesus Christ? What kind of covenant are you in? Because, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in the church. I was in the church every day, every Sunday, right? We were there every time the doors opened. And I thought I really understood this, you know. And I was a doer, you know. I was a rule follower. And so I was supposed to take my offering every Sunday. I took my offering every Sunday, and I checked the box. I got my offering. I did my Bible reading, you know. I checked those things because it was all about my duty, right? It was all about what I was supposed to do in order to be in relationship with my God. You know, I had to earn it, and so I would be a good guy. I would make good decisions. I'd check off all the boxes, and I was still miserable. And I began to understand that, man, I must have this all wrong. And I began to understand that I was trying to live under the old covenant, trying to be a rule follower. It was all about, you know, religion to me. And I began to understand that, hey, Jesus had died for me. That God demonstrated His love for me. That even though I'm a sinner, His Son died for me so that I could be saved, so that I could be forgiven. And that love began to as I began to understand it, it began to compel me to want to love Him back, not out of duty, but out of devotion. Not because that's what I was supposed to do, but because I got to do that. Because He loved me. And so what kind of covenant are you in? This verse here has always scared me, especially when I was a young man. I'm going to read it, and I want you just to continue to think about your relationship with God. But it's in Matthew 7, and it says this. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He goes on to say, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?'" You know, God, didn't we do all that stuff? I mean, that's some good stuff, right? And he says, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me." That word "new" is intimate. It's an intimacy with our God. It's not just to know about him here, but it's really to fall in love with him here. To really get to know him in a very intimate and personal, forever covenant kind of way. So again, listen, God doesn't want your religion. He don't want your work. God wants a relationship. He wants a forever covenant-keeping, love relationship. And he calls us to that new covenant. He calls us to be a covenant-keeping people in forever relationship with him. So will you, if you haven't already, will you today come to that new covenant? Will you do kind of a heart check this morning and really be honest? You know, what kind of covenant do I have with my God? He's ready for you to surrender everything, because he surrendered everything to you. Will you take that step of faith and today say, "God, I am going to step all in. I'm not going to be perfect, God, but I know you're going to be with me. I know you're never going to leave me. I know I have your forgiveness forever." So that with that, as I understand that kind of love, God, as you understand that kind of love, will you allow it to compel you to love him back in that covenant-keeping kind of way? Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you that you are a covenant-keeping God. That God, all the promises that we read in your word, Father, they are available to us. That you are a promise-keeping God. And so, God, I pray for all of us here this morning that we would allow you to speak into our hearts and help us to really look inside this morning and search and really begin to see, what kind of covenant are we in with you, God? Is it just a head knowledge? Or have we surrendered our heart to you, God? If you're here this morning and you know that you've never said yes to him in your heart, you know about, you've known about God, and maybe you've even done some things that look like a child of God, but you know that it has never gone from your head to your heart. Will you say yes to him this morning, right where you are? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to bring you into a forever covenant-keeping relationship with your God? Just pray to Him. Talk to Him. Right now, confess with your mouth that you believe that He is God, that Jesus is His Son, that He came and died on a cross, allowed His blood to be shed so that you could be forgiven. Would you right now receive that forgiveness? Just say, God, come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I give all of me to all of you. Maybe you know Him in a covenant way, but possibly you've allowed your relationship to fall more into a contractual kind of relationship with your God instead of totally surrendered to Him. And His Word and His presence, His Spirit this morning is saying, I want all of you. I want you to surrender all. It's not about what you do. It's about what I've already done through my Son, Jesus Christ. So right now, would you recommit your life to Him? Step back into that covenant relationship with your God that loves you so. Allow Him to cleanse you. Allow Him to begin to change you and transform you more and more. More and more to be like His Son. Father, we want to be a covenant keeping people with You and with others. We want to have a covenant marriage, a marriage is God. We want to have covenant families. So God, do Your work in us. Transform us to be more like Your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.